As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
Yes, I mean, I think it will happen no matter what. I would like to see what the basis is for this. Let's remember that the real crime here that we have is that DA Bragg did leak that there were 30 to 34 counts. We already know that. That in itself is a felony. You are not to let that go. So at this point, I mean, and I like everybody
Lena,
in this country to be treated the same no matter
the DJ,
who you are.
We don't know if the DA leaked that information. That is
speculation. Well, how the hell else does it come out, Don?
Well, it's not speculation.
Golly. Come on, Don. How does it happen? How does it come out? I mean, somebody from the DA's office had to do it. How does it come out, Don?
Magic.
Good grief. Dana, hold your tongue. You're not even a full 60 seconds into the show yet. Like, what are you doing here? I mean, come on. Let's, yeah, not even, now you're maybe at 60 seconds in the show. Okay. All right. Let's, hi. Dana Lash here with you. I'm not lovable today. No. You're just mean. You're old, mean, cranky curmudgeon here.
That's what makes you lovable.
See, welcome to the program. The first hour here, top of our first hour this Tuesday as we await. I feel like this is some, like, Revelation type stuff. The unsealing of the documents. Very important things here happening. Doesn't it feel like that? Just a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
So, well, although we kind of know what it all is, thanks to the big mouths there in Alvin Bragg's office. So we've been talking, we talked about this yesterday, all of this stuff that's coming out. They're waiting. The footage has been ridiculous. It has been nonstop obsessive coverage. Here's Trump getting on his plane. CNN had someone in a boat out in the Hudson so that they could get, like, the plane, like a certain shot of the plane. Here is Trump leaving Mar-a-Lago. Watch him as he gets on his plane. Here he is pulling up to the tarmac. Here he is on his plane. Here is his plane flying in the sky. Here's his plane coming into New York City. Here's his plane at LaGuardia. Here's him leaving his plane. Here's him leaving his plane and getting into his motorcade. Here's his motorcade. Here he is with his motorcade going to Trump Tower. Here he is going into Trump Tower. He's a criminal. He's going into Trump Tower. Here's Trump Tower. Here's Trump Tower still. So we're just still looking at Trump Tower. That's the media.
And now we're looking at the media. If you're looking at any of it.
Now here's us, the media, looking at Trump Tower. I think they outnumber any of the protesters. So I saw some video. A friend of mine was up there. He wasn't trying to, like, cover it, but he wanted to go up there because he thought it was hysterical how many media people there were and the media setups there were. He drove by and it was a little nutty because they had all of their, you know, they got all their little cameras and their little lights and their, you know, all their little stuff out and all this. Listen to this. This is audio soundbite one. I really wasn't far from the truth here. Listen.
I just want to note for viewers, we are seeing former President Trump's plane.
They had someone in a boat, guys.
In New York. That is his flight that he is taking before he is going to make his way over here to Trump Tower. Phil and Dana.
Like, what other flight would he be taking? It's a giant ass plane that says Trump on the side of it. CNN, what other plane would he be taking? This is the media. Well, it's a Trump plane. It looks like this is the only flight he could be taking. You know, the giant plane which bears his name over approximately one quarter of it. Great job, guys. Great job. You can see why I get exasperated with these people. They're trying to first off, they're trying to blow this up into making. I just want to caution you. I taped a radio interview this morning, and I this is what I want to caution you as. I don't think that the system is entirely screwed. I don't. I think the media wants you to think that. You're being baited in more ways than one. And one of the ways in which you are being baited is to agree with them on how everything's broken and it needs to be rebuilt. Do you not see how this is happening? You have all the CRT people who are like, everything is horrible and unequal and thou art suppressed. The country is completely inadequate. It was founded on the backs of oppressed people. Everyone's been oppressed. And now they're trying to convince people on the right that the system is broken. So you'll have people on the right saying, oh, the legal system is entirely broken. And the people on the left are going, yes, yes, please agree with us. Yes, it's broken. The system is broken. And then inadvertently, you end up on the same page with the same people who are trying to tear down the system. Here's why the system isn't broken. Because it's Alvin Bragg doing it. You know why that's not a big deal? Because he's in the Southern District of Manhattan. He's an area-specific DA. He's like the Manhattan version of Kim Gardner. Okay? All the other federal prosecutors said there's no case here. This is stupid. We're not doing it. But not Alvin Bragg. All the Democrats were nipping at his ankles. Do something. We've got to show to our base that we're delivering on our persecution of Trump. So he did it. The simple fact that it's Alvin Bragg doing it and nobody else shows you the system is not lost. Now, I say this as someone who pretty much hates everything. And it's not lost. Do not be baited into agreeing with these CRT stooges. Because then you guys, you think that you're rebuilt. You're being baited by them and emotionally manipulated by them. They are very good at this. This is all they have. They have one set of skills in life, people. They're not even like, you know, Liam Neeson from I have a particular set of skills. They're not even like that. This is all they have. So they're actually quite good at it. They're very good at manipulating people because they have turned laziness into an art form. They are so lazy. They can't be bothered to be self-sustaining. They can't be bothered to make their own decisions. They have to create all of these entirely ridiculous and redundant government agencies and to tell them what to do, to tell them what to wear on their face, to tell them how many calories they should have in a day, how many vitamins they should have. Don't eat cookie dough. Don't lick toads. Don't do all this other. I mean, they literally have to be told this stuff. They turned laziness into an art form. You cannot allow these people to emotionally manipulate you just because they got good at being lazy. And as their only active phase is to manipulate other people into doing what they want them to do because that's their form of activity. Do not be manipulated by these people. Do not take the bait. So, to that point, we're watching the media watch Trump Tower. It is really wild. It's like, honestly, watching the media react to things is like going to the zoo. You know, it really is it's like going to the zoo because they're all absolutely bonkers. The way that they're obsessing, they don't actually focus on the super important stuff. And they're really, like I said, they are really trying to manipulate you with this. I've seen some of the footage. I know that there are some protest. There's more media than there are protesters up there. Everyone's like, it's a chaotic scene. Just don't. They would love to have like some kind of violence and so that they could blame it all on the Trump. They would love that. So CNN, apparently I guess there's not going to be a mugshot. I don't know. I was thinking about this a little earlier, and I have a piece that I'm working on. I don't know if it'll be ready by tonight, but it'll be ready at some point this week. Because I think that people are reading the media wrong on this. And I want you to remove any feelings that you have about anyone in politics for just a moment. I want you to suspend all ties, all lawyer, and I want you to look at this very, very logically, very Vulcan-like, very clinically. I was thinking about this when I saw, first off, when I saw some CNN's coverage. They're positively giddy. Not all networks are, though. There's a little bit of a disjointed reaction. They're not all unanimous in the way that they perceive this. In fact, some people are, they're actually a little worried. Some of people in the media. See, I think there are some people in the media that are not scared of Trump. I can argue both sides of this. And again, look at this very clinically. They're not scared of him. I think some people in the media are not scared of him because they want him. He's been the only person in their eyes and in their polls, and we've seen some of the stuff that has been that Biden has pulled competitively against. Now, I know everyone's like, but look at all the recent polls, look at all the, you know, the latest polls, etc. No, I totally get you on this. I get you. But we also said this in 2020 and we said it in 2018. What you have to realize is that these are, in radio, there's a term called P1s. Your P1s are your number one listeners. They're the people who listen the longest. They listen the most often. And ultimately, that is entirely who you cater your content to. Whether your station, your programming, all of that. And these initial surveys are P1s. So you kind of have to look at it in those terms. It looks very different when it's broken down in a general election. Republicans have been making some mistakes in that they want to run generals like primaries, and you can't do that. So to my point in the media, I think there are some that are not scared of him. They want him. They want him because he's the only one that Biden has pulled competitively against. They want him because Republicans have not been able to figure out how to deal with split ticket voting. In 2018 and 2020, it's a phenomenon that we have yet to remedy. And honestly, they better, the party better remedy it, because it may not matter who the nominee is going forward if they don't get this fixed. Meaning, so in Texas, John Cornyn got more votes than Trump did. In Texas, John Cornyn. I know. I'm not joking. I got the receipts if you would like them. I've poured over all the data. I've got everything bookmarked, ready to lay it out. It's all going in this post that I'm drafting. And in a number of races across the country, we had this phenomenon. And it wasn't anything that was, you know, odd or anything. There were people who would either leave it blank or they would write. And here's the issue. And this is what I think these people, a certain faction of the media, are going for, to my overall point. Voters can get fatigued. This is, I think, this media faction's point. They want voters exhausted by the time the actual election comes around in over a year. They want voters fatigued by nonstop drama. They want voters to look at this as though, because this is, voters back in 2016 and going into 2018 and in 2020, people voted the way they did because they elected someone to fight for them, to fight for them. Voters have been kicked enough and have been fighting for politicians for long enough. They wanted someone to fight for them for a change. Well, that's being inverted now. That and fatigue is going to set in. I'm not saying this is a way to persuade someone for primaries or anything else. I'm telling you what the media is doing. And I'm telling you, you got to watch everything these snakes in the grass do. That is one aspect of it. They are betting on people feeling so worn out by the time the actual election rolls around that it almost doesn't even matter who the nominee is going to be. That plus the split ticket voting that Republicans, and I know some people have argued against it. I have more data than Aldranian data. It was an issue and it's still an issue. We're going to talk more about this in the coming weeks, but I want you to just kind of be wary. Question everything that you see. Breathe life into your own backyard this spring with FastGrowingTrees.com. From shade trees to fresh fruit to privacy hedge plants, let FastGrowingTrees.com help you plant your dream garden with their expert advice and fast, reliable shipping. FastGrowingTrees.com's plant experts curate thousands of easy-to-grow plants, shrubs, and tree varieties for your unique climate. And they understand that sometimes it's hard to know which plants will do best. No problem. With FastGrowingTrees.com, Hinge.com, you get customized recommendations based on your specific needs, and they're always available to help keep your plants growing healthy through every season. Their website is easy to use, and the shipping's fast. With fast-growing trees, 30-day alive and thrive guarantee, you know everything will look great fresh out of the box. So join over 1.5 million happy fast-growing trees customers. Visit fastgrowingtrees.com/Dana now and get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com/Dana. That's fastgrowingtrees.com/Dana.
Oil makes the world go round. OPEC decided to cut 1 million barrels per day of oil that you need to fill up your gas tank. Windmills and solar panels won't do the job. Since the U.S. stopped being self-reliant on its own energy, will you be paying for it at the pump? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So there's some new polling out. This is interesting. Coming out of Washington Examiner, they reported that the governor of Florida, his job approval rating, DeSantis, in Florida has jumped to a four-year high. It's even higher now than it was when he ran just last election. They said it's 59% favorable. There's 2% unsure. It's a Mason-Dixon poll. It's a four-point jump since September before midterm elections when his approval was at 55%. So that means maybe with their midterms, you might see some more Republicans making it even a stronger supermajority in Florida. Maybe those lawmakers will get some of this other stuff moved through just as fast, too. So that'll be very interesting to watch. Also, go down. Real estate sales in Manhattan have dropped 38%. Cash sales, though, are setting records. That's kind of interesting. The drop in sales and prices follows a 29% decline in the fourth quarter and suggests that the nation's largest real estate market is correcting after a post-pandemic boom in prices and demands. The big question for brokers, buyers, and sellers is, where's the new bottom? And there's a huge gap. I think it's always existed between buyer and seller price expectations as well. NASA's introduced four astronauts who are going to fly to the moon on the Artemis II mission. I know Canadian astronaut, three NASA veterans, including one of the world's most experienced female spacewalkers, are going to fly around the moon next year in the first piloted voyage beyond Earth's orbit since the Apollo program ended 50 years ago. They announced this yesterday. So they said that they have a Canadian rookie. He's going to join aboard an Orion crew capsule for the Artemis program's second flight, the first carrying a crew bound for the moon. It's extended to pave the way towards the first moon landing for the Artemis program. They're looking in the 2025 to 2026 time range, which is actually going to be cool. Google's cutting their costs too. Fitness classes, micro kitchens, and more, all gone. They had micro kitchens? Stay with us. If you're a bacon lover, today is your day. So whether alongside your eggs for breakfast, on a BLT, or wrapped around a filet, bacon is free for a year at Good Ranchers. Subscribe to get 24 ounces of Applewood smoked bacon added to each delicious box for a year. That's over $200 worth of bacon free. This is 100% American, high-quality bacon sourced from local farms with no added hormones or antibiotics. To subscribe, simply find your perfect box in the Good Ranchers curated selection of pasture-raised meat and wild-caught seafood. Select the frequency that works best for you, and then enjoy fewer trips to the meat aisle and more flavor at dinner. As long as you stay subscribed, your price will never increase. That's the Good Ranchers price lock guarantee. Subscribe today at goodranchers.com for free bacon in every box for a year. Use code Dana to get an additional $20 off your first order. Get the best meat America has to offer. Visit goodranchers.com. That's goodranchers.com, code Dana. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
We are the safest large city in America because we respect the rule of law in New York City. And although we have no specific threats, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is known to spread misinformation and hate speech, she stated she's coming to town. While you're in town, be on your best behavior.
Why don't you tell that to the people who are like stabbing and killing people in New York City before you start lecturing everybody else? You know, just a thought. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. I do think that people shouldn't be baited. I mean, honestly, I mean, I think that people need to stop being baited into this. And I think that the right needs to stop baiting each other into big primary fights that shouldn't even be the focus right now. I'm sorry, but I just don't give a rat's ass about who somebody wants to get behind in the primary. And I'm so tired of all of these people trying to bully other Republican voters to immediately pledge fealty to someone. We fought a war to not have a monarchy. Like, we fought an actual war of independence to not treat elected officials or people who are in positions of power as monarchs. And some of us still have that fighting spirit, by the way, so don't F-A-F-O. I get so aggravated at this stuff. Wait, there's so many things to focus on right now. Now, yes, I think that the situation with Alvin Bragg is ridiculous. But I also think that, as I just explained last segment, and we'll put that as a clip up for you on YouTube since it's just a quick explainer. But, you know, like we were saying, the fact that there were so many other federal prosecutors that refused to pursue this, and it fell to Alvin Bragg to do the dirty work for Democrats, that says everything. I mean, it shows you that the Democrats had to try to create and circumvent the way the system works in order to do what they want. Now, I wanted to touch on, because they had some more information leak from Bragg's office. And it's funny because his Kane notes. Mike Isikoff. Isn't Mike Isikoff the guy? Yeah, he was the one. Was he with Yahoo?
Yeah, I think so.
So he was one of the guys that apparently... So really quickly, let me summarize this. So back when the DNC and the Clinton campaign were working with Fusion GPS, which was essentially an unregistered foreign agent, and they were doing a lot of lobbying work on behalf of these Russian oligarchs, they got this, you had the DNC and the Clinton campaign, which hired this disgraced British spy, Christopher Steele, who then worked with the Kremlin, and they came up with, you know, a bunch of garbage, and they were trying to get it verified through their Kremlin sources, etc., to make it look like it had some meat on the bone. The FBI wouldn't verify it. They peddled this out to all of these different reporters, this information, and had the reporters report on it. And then they took the stories that the reporters wrote, took it to a FISA court. And then that's how they were able to get a judge to sign off on wiretapping of, you know, people who were working in the Trump campaign, private citizens. And so one of those, a lot of it was redacted, but one of those is apparently that Mike Isikoff guy. And he was the one who was pushing that Steele dossier information. And all of that, that's when it came out that you had the relationship between the husband and wife team. One of them was at Fusion GPS, Bruce Orr, Nelly Orr. And then Bruce Orr was at DOJ. And then how they worked with, you know, a couple of people within the FBI, et cetera, et cetera. So he's like one of those guys. And apparently he's the one who also, it's through this Isikoff guy that these 34 some odd charges were released. Now, it's interesting to note, and we talked about this with Andy McCarthy, and I highly encourage you to go and watch the interview that we had yesterday with Andy McCarthy, because he explained this out so well. Everyone keeps going 34 charges, 34 charges. Now, it's stupid because it's 34 charges of the same offense. So essentially what Alvin Bragg is trying to do is make it look like there's a lot of something when there's nothing. He's trying to inflate what he has. Anytime there was any kind of transaction, he can with the same thing, or if it's something just exchanged hands, he counted that as a felony. And as Andy McCarthy noted, you know, he was the guy who prosecuted the case against the blind sheikh in the first attack of the World Trade Center, and he only brought 5 charges against him. Of course, you know, being a terrorist and, you know, murder, etc., was part of it. But he said, you know, I could have brought, you know, a ton of them. But when you have a strong evidence and you have a legitimate case, and these are, you know, strong charges, you don't need to paper it up with a bunch of stuff. And so it kind of is. For the uninitiated, it's designed to make it look like, to poison the well of public opinion and make it look like, oh my gosh, these are 34 felony counts. That's so crazy. But really, it's the same offense. And again, he piggybacked off of an expired misdemeanor in order to try to recraft campaign finance law and make it a state charge. He is, again, I said, he's the Manhattan version of Kim Gardner. And the simple fact that you had a number of these federal prosecutors who did not want to take this case, and so it fell to Alvin Bragg. Alvin Bragg's the guy to do it. That tells you everything about the state of things. I mean, they had nothing. And the system, I mean, the system worked, which is why Democrats are trying to go around it. So we'll continue to follow this, and we're going to get into all of the other stuff as well with it, including any of the other, you know, when he leaves Trump Tower and he goes in. It's supposed to happen at 1:15 Central, 2:15 Eastern. So we'll get into all of that. Now, two things. While this is happening, major things are happening in Wisconsin that you need to pay attention to. Wisconsin voters head to the polls today. They're deciding the future of their state in what is apparently one of the most expensive judicial races in U.S. history. There are a lot of really good people who've been working really, really hard on this. So it's actually going to affect the ideological makeup of the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. And it also is going to determine whether or not, I think everything's on the ballot, like photo ID, et cetera, et cetera. So you have the conservative candidate, former Justice Daniel Kelly. He's going up against super progressive Judge Janet Protasiewicz. And she's won, you know, she's backed by Eric Holder. You know, he's stumped on her. They've got $31 million from out-of-state donors that have poured in. She's gotten a ton of donations. And by the way, this is all public information, and you can actually go and see the data. She's gotten tons of donations from George Soros, J.B. Pritzker, all kinds of stuff. She's a big abortion on demand, taxpayer funded supporter, all of that. And she's also one of those individuals, too, who believes that, you know, it's not necessary to have, you know, voter ID. Let's go ahead and have mail in ballots, you know, all of this kind of stuff. So this is, you know, an absolute, this is an incredibly important race that's taking place, because, you know, some are saying that it's questionable if, you know, this, if the conservative, the actual constitutional justice, Daniel Kelly, doesn't win, you know, there's a question as to whether or not Wisconsin's actually going to be winnable by any Republican ever again. That's a real question. No one's been talking about that. No one's talked about it. And it's incredibly frustrating. So on top of this issue, we also have this situation going on with sports and the First Lady. Have you guys seen some of this stuff? So I tweeted about this last night. Let me pull up my tweet, because I remarked on this last night. I thought it was so absolutely ridiculous that it was just wow. So you have, you know, it's March Madness. Well, actually, it's April, so March Madness is, it's not March Madness anymore. Yeah, getting a Final Four. So you have Jill Biden, who, you know, anytime anybody, you know, wins championships, et cetera, you know, they always get invited to the White House, right? I mean, it happened under Trump. Trump had a lot of people that he invited up to the White House, I think. So it was the NCAA basketball championship. Jill Biden was at the championship game. And LSU won over Iowa, and there was a lot of discussion over two players in particular. And there was a lot of fighting about it online, a lot of consternation about this online. So you had Angel Reese, who I guess some people were upset because she and Caitlin Clark were trash talking each other on the court, and they were doing the John Cena, like, you can't see me. Like, Clark did it, and then Reese responded, and then Reese pointed to her ring finger to be like, my championship ring's going to sit here. And everybody from the meathead that is Keith Olbermann, everybody jumped in, and they were, like, slamming Angel Reese for this, which I thought was weird, because trash talk on the court, on the track, on the field, wherever, on the pitch, wherever it is, trash talk is as American as apple pie. I mean, oh my gosh, if they think that's the worst of it, it is. Look, trash talk is trash talk, and it is part of sports. And I just don't know why all these people had to get in and jump on Angel Reese for it. Leave this woman alone. Shut up. Now, here's where it gets weird, and here's how Jill Biden comes into it. So Jill Biden wants the champions at LSU and Iowa, she wants both of them to come to the White House. Normally, it's just the champs, right? Well, she wants both of them to come to the White House. And she gave some remarks yesterday, which I thought were kind of goofy, because she acted like she was right there fighting for the Equal Rights Amendment and all this other stuff. This woman didn't do anything. She had said, she's like, I know we're going to have the champions come to the White House. I hope LSU will come. And then she goes, you know, I'm going to tell Joe, I think Iowa should come too, because they played such a good game. They lost. No offense, but they lost. Are we that fragile of a society that we can't stand hurting people's feelings with winning? This is what healthy competition looks like. You know why so many people are messed up today? Because they were given participation trophies. That's why. So she says, oh, well, I'm going to talk to Joe. And Angel Reese retweeted it, and she wrote in caps lock, a joke. And then had the laughing emojis with it. She was the most outstanding player in the Final Four. She's got a lot of attention because remember she the whole thing with her and Caitlin Clark, and everybody decides to light up, you know, Angel Reese, and they said, oh, she lacked grace in victory, and she didn't lack grace. That she could have slapped her. She didn't. Good grief, people, shut up. This is trash talking. I'm so tired of this. And I mean, I think they need to leave her alone. Charles Barkley pretty much jumped on top of Keith Olbermann and beat him to a pulp online. It was amazing. I can't even repeat what Charles Barkley told Keith Olbermann. I can't even repeat it on air. I'll get fined. He basically told him to shut up in an unflattering way to himself. Oh, yeah. All right. And then dressed him down. It was something else. But here's the problem with her with Jill Biden doing this. So it kicked off a whole thing of race, a whole like debate on race. And I mean, it was amazing the way that all these people were like trying to jump on Angel Reese, and then the way that other individuals were defending Angel Reese, and then Jill Biden makes it all worse by wading in, and then everyone was saying that Jill Biden was somehow being racist because she had to invite, you know, the team with, you know, Caitlin Clark, as and then she just couldn't have LSU there. I mean, she just walked right into it, which is these are unenforced errors. What did she say? She was talking about, let me pull this up. She was talking about, it was ERA, I think. And she got slammed. I mean, she was in Denver, and that's when she said, yeah, the LSU is going to get an invitation to the White House. And then, yeah, the Iowa team's going to come too. But you know, the winning team, when you win, you get to go to the White House. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Listen to this. This is audio soundbite 15. This is how it came off. It seems patronizing and fake. Listen to her.
So congratulations to both teams. So I know we'll have the champions come to the White House. We always do. So, you know, we'll have LSU come. But you know what? I'm going to tell Joe, I think Iowa should come too, because they played such a good game. So, right?
Oh, nobody's so even going here.
That's sportsmanship. Lukewarm. That's good sportsmanship.
No, it's not good sportsmanship. That's being a sissy. You had a team that lost and a team that won. Winners get to go to the White House. The people who didn't win don't. It's not a statement of character. They played a great game. They had a great season, but they lost. That is how this works in our reality. Stop wiping the backside of every single person whose feelings get hurt because of actual reality. This is the way it is. Winners go to the White House. Can people stop acting like it's a personal smear or an impugnation of someone's character to be like, you lost? They lost. And get over it. People who have a problem with that are what's wrong with society. You people are screwing up society. The people who get upset over losing, they played a great game. They get upset over losing, and they think they should be afforded special accommodations as losers. They're victims, so they have a power as victims. You're the turd in the punch bowl of society. You are what is wrong with the world. Stop it. That's as much passion as you're going to see me ever exhibit over basketball. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Red meat, black coffee, truth-telling. The Dana Show.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
So it's all about watching the media watch Trump. That's everything that's happening right now today. We're watching the media watch Trump live, watching actually the Trump building. They're not actually watching Trump per se, but the media, they got a boat out in the Hudson to watch Air Force Trump fly in. And then they've been stationed outside of Trump Tower, 11 quadrillion of them. There, the media is watching Trump, and we're watching the media watch Trump. This is the most boring episode of Days of these United States ever. I mean, I'm looking at some of the video, and Juan is showing it on the simulcast of the radio show. There's so many. There are more media than there are protesters out there. There are so many media people out there. It is ridiculous. It's crazy. That's how many people there are. Blocks of them. All the media people. They're there watching the building. And then they're going to watch Trump leave the building on the sidewalk, getting into the car. Then the motorcade. Back to the motorcade. It's a motorcade shot.
Who's going to watch the watchers?
Who's going to watch the watchers? Exactly. The second hour of the media watching Trump. No, really, we have another hour on the way, and we got some wokery. We got a whole bunch of stuff. You don't want to miss. Stay with us. Americans have had it. They're done supporting companies that rake in hundreds of millions, sometimes billions of dollars, while trashing the country that made their success possible. Until recently, we had to take it. But companies like Patriot Mobile are building a whole new economy, one which embraces the values that made America the greatest country on earth. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. Plus, they offer a coverage guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch to a different network for free without changing carriers. With Patriot Mobile, their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them right now at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana. We should stand together and support companies that share our values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And these investments mean, by the way, you moms and dads who didn't have that internet available to you, next time your kid has to do homework online, you don't have to pull up in front of a McDonald's and work off their power. I'm not joking.
What? Does he know what the internet is?
No, he doesn't.
I mean, you got to drive up to the McDonald's and you take your power extension cord and you plug it in the building, you get some of their internet like that. That's Joe Biden. Can we not with him? Can we not have him anymore? I love it. First off. We're not even 30 seconds into this hour. Golly, welcome back to the program. Top of our second hour. Your bemused curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you. Listen coast to coast across the country. Stream it on YouTube, Facebook. Join the discussion on YouTube as well. And you can also check it out on Channel 347, DirecTV. So Lorraine, who's a contributor at Chapter and Verse, she says every media live stream is watching the same feed of Trump Tower's door. It's true. Every one of them, they're all looking. It's the same shot of the door. The same shot. This is media obsession. They want this. They really want to inflate their own importance. I think this is going to get dismissed, and then they're going to look stupid. They're going to look kind of dumb with all this. Oh my gosh. It's just such a circus. It really is. I saw I'm looking at pictures of the protesters out there. It's literally like 10-1 media to protester. Or protester to media. It is. There's so many media people out there. I don't know. I don't know. I can't. I have to tell you, my friend. Now, I think it can kind of go a little bit above and beyond on. You know, you got some people who I don't dislike. I don't dislike Marjorie Taylor Greene. I just think, can we just chill for a second? Can I play? I don't dislike her because I think you need people like this. And I'm just being real. But okay, I can't believe I did it. Can we play 18? I'm not slamming her, but I gotta read you what my friend Dave Burge said in response to this because it's the funniest thing I've read all day. It's the only reason I'm doing it. Play this. This is audio. This is 18.
President Trump is joining some of the most incredible people in history being arrested today. Nelson Mandela was arrested, served time in prison. Jesus was arrested and murdered by the Roman government. There have been many people throughout history that have been arrested and persecuted by radical, corrupt governments.
Who the hell is doing this interview in the car?
Beginning today in
my friend, my friend Dave Burge, who is hysterical. He goes, he's Iowa Hawk on Twitter. One of the fun, he's the funniest person on Twitter. He goes, he says, quote, well, I've been arrested more times than him, which obviously makes me the Jesusiest. I don't even know how you say that. Jesusiest. And then he goes, I also have a beard, drink wine, and have done some carpentry. But have you risen? I want to ask him that. I'm totally going to tweet that. Oh, can we? So I'm just saying, let's everyone chill. Let's chill. Let's everybody chill. Okay. Let's not. This has been. It's Tuesday. It's only Tuesday.
It's Holy Week.
This is true. Yeah,
that explains,
oh.
That explains it all.
I feel like we need some singing monks or something. I don't know. We get, but not like, sidebar, but not like the 90s with the boots and pants. You know what I mean? Right. You know how that was like a big thing in the night? Like, what happened? Something happened in the 90s. With like the college 90s kids,
right.
Like all my older cousins were, they'd be like, oh, have you heard? And they'd would play music and it would be like there was monks in it. I'm like, what is this? Where's this coming from? See, there we go. Ah, because 'tis Holy Week. That's true. There you go. So see, something like that, that works. All right. So while all of this is happening, there's some other things that we need to address. Oh, wait, did he get... Oh, never mind that. He's in his motorcade. Oh, the media's freaking out. Trump has finally left the Trump Tower, and he's in the Trump motorcade driving to the Trump arraignment. That's the media. They're all freaking out. I just... There was my... So I follow these... I don't follow. I have some columns on Twitter, and I just have media people, like media outlets in there. And... It is, they all lost their minds collectively in it. And they all use the little, sirens. I can't. The media is just, they're apoplectic right now. They're crazy. Oh my gosh, everybody's, sorry, I got to do it. I got to do it. I just got to look at it. I got to look at it. It's crazy. Oh my gosh, he went and someone's really excited because they got the money shot of him leaving the building. That person's going to make a quadrillion dollars with that video cut. So now we're going to have the aerial. I know, but Dana, there's some important. Shh, we're watching the motorcade. The media wants us to be very fixated on this. I mean, forget about the fact that Finland joined NATO. Forget about the fact that the petrodollar is diminishing and that, you know, economically we're under threat. Shh. Shh. No. It's very important for this motorcade right now. I mean, it's motorcade week. Apparently motorcade Tuesday. All right. So I just, you know, I can't. It's taking everything I have to just keep up the sarcasm and not just. To not just collapse in laughter. So now everyone, we're all watching aerial footage of the motorcade. They've street shut down all kinds of stuff. I saw this tweet of this couple. They had scheduled, they were getting married, justice of the peace, and it was right next to the arraignment, right next to the room with the, and so they're having a very interesting wedding day. So there you go. That, yeah, everybody out there, someone said there's like 600 people here shooting videos for TikTok. Oh my gosh. All the influencers out there. And there's like maybe, I think most everyone listened and they didn't go to have a protest there because they didn't want to get baited because they knew that New York City was trying to bait them into doing something goofy. So it's just the media there hoping to catch something. So I don't know. You're going to know who the Fed boys are. The hats will be brand new. Brought to you by Pfizer. Oh man. So here in just a minute, we're going to see, because they have all the roads shut down. So he's going to get to the courthouse in a second. I mean, they're already at the courthouse. So the motorcade's going to pull up. And then everyone's going to go, Trump is leaving the Trump motorcade, stepping out on the sidewalk wearing shoes. He's going to go into the courtroom building for the Trump arraignment. And he's going to touch the door. Someone will touch the door and open it for him. He probably is breathing right here. I mean, just up to the minute. Just, you know, our media. Meanwhile, the Saudi squeeze. Oh, did you guys know that inflation is totally ending, but SNAP spending has doubled? Because that makes sense. Yeah. The federal government spending has soared 40% between 2019 and 2023. I mean, yeah, we had some spending bills related to the pandemic, and yet the spending is continuing. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, food stamps, it's administered by the states. It's funded by USDA and, you know, us taxpayers. It doubled, $63 billion in 2019 to $127 billion in 2023. But, hey, guys, the economy's great. There's all the jobs. The jobs, look at them. The economy's great. There's no inflation. There's no bad economy. Inflation's ended. And also from Reuters, the U.S. manufacturing is nearing a three-year low, casting a shadow over the economy. But hey, guys, it's great. It's all great, though. Yeah? Everything's good. Wonderful. Shh, don't what? Pay attention to the motorcade. The motorcade is driving through the streets of New York City, and soon Trump is going to arrive at the courtroom for the Trump arraignment. But wait. SNAP spending doubled to 127, and Biden's telling us the inflation is up. Stop talking. It's the Trump motorcade on the way to the Trump courthouse, or the courthouse where the Trump arraignment's going to take place. I'm trying really, really hard here to, like, pay, because, like, for instance, like, the recipients were allowed to delay eligibility recertification throughout the pandemic, apparently, and SNAP benefits are adjusted annually for inflation, but yet all of this stuff, they're Republicans were proposing reform, but Democrats were blocking it. Nope, we got to wait because soon Trump is going to arrive at the courthouse for the Trump arraignment. Watch the motorcade. Watch the motorcade. You're in your happy place. Watch the motorcade. Pay no attention to all the stuff going on with SNAP or the Saudis or energy or oil. Watch the motorcade. The motorcade is you. I just want to talk about what's going on with the economy. I mean, that's all. I'm kind of like for instance, Social Security going gone. New report. It's now expected to run short of cash in less than 10 years. In less than 10 years, it's going to run short of cash. The program that was supposed to, me and my mom is going to riot. It's I'm sure it's all Republicans' fault, right? Everything is, isn't it? Al Gore's lockbox didn't have a bottom on it. That's what he didn't tell you. The benefits for retirees and others paid through payroll taxes and current workers, supplemented by a trust fund. They use it as a money grab. And the reason, I mean, think about it. You pay in to Social Security all these years. Why in the world would you not have anything there? Why is there nothing there for you after you paid your whole life? Why? Well, maybe because they spent it all. How in the world could it run out of cash? That's your money. But the Trump motorcade is going to be arriving at the courthouse soon. If you say that you don't care, then you're going to have, honestly, what I think is a psyop with certain people on the right that are going to accuse you of not caring about the breakdown of law and order, even though you had federal prosecutors that didn't want to pursue the case. And Alvin Bragg is the only person, the Kim Gardner of Manhattan, that actually did it. But as Kane notes, Social Security, the petrodollar, everything else, all designed to usher in that digital currency with the government.
Central bank, baby.
There you go. I'm sure that's going to work out really well. So this three-pronged attack influence, unity and economy on America. I mean, we've seen it with these economic policies. The Malaysia prime minister said there's no reason to continue to depend on the U.S. dollar in a new report that came out today. I mean, this is after you have China making inroads with Brazil. This is after OPEC Plus is now squeezing energy. They're reducing the amount of barrels per day. And now you have Russia dealing in Chinese currency in Asia and Africa and Latin America. Malaysia's Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim said there's no reason to continue to depend on the U.S. dollar. He stated that the continued dependence on U.S. currency in attracting investments into the country is unwarranted. Oh, by the way, he stated that their bank is developing a proposal to pioneer the method of how trading in various currencies while visiting with leaders in China. Hmm. But hey, pay attention to the motorcade. Right. Now you know why the media is doing what they're doing.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, Trump has officially arrived at the courthouse. The motorcade has arrived at the courthouse ahead of the arraignment. And Kane is watching this as well. Kane, I'll throw it over to you.
Right now, looks like Trump's motorcade has arrived at the courthouse.
That is correct. Yeah, the latest headline, the motorcade has arrived at the courthouse. And the courthouse, the building at which the motorcade has just arrived. Trump is going to go inside. In fact, I think he's inside now at the courthouse. Steve, do we have the latest on that?
Yeah, yeah. He took his car. He got there. Now he's inside.
It's called a motorcade, Steve. It's a motorcade!
He exited the motorcade and has
motorcade! Just calling it a car makes it seem so insignificant. This is the most historic motorcade in the history of history.
I forgot.
He's there. All the media is now going, they're now going to watch the doors of the courthouse for the next 3 hours. And we're all going to watch the media watch the doors of the courthouse for the next 3 hours. The exact same shot across the board. Now, I know we have a couple of other headlines, but the motorcade has just arrived at the courthouse, everyone. The motorcade is at the courthouse. And for those of you out there listening in Pig Latin, the order may AK as hey arrived at the courthouse K. There you go. Official. The UFC is apparently going to buy the WWE. Whoa. The motorcade is not there. It's at the courthouse. Oh. Yeah, but the WWE, apparently WWE is in advanced talks to be sold to Ari Emanuel's Endeavor Group, the parent of UFC. It would make the UFC and WWE into one publicly traded company at which the motorcade is not present. We're going to come back. We got all the latest. Stay with us.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
You know, attempting to gag a United States citizen who was a defendant, not a lawyer, not a litigant, but a defendant in the case, you know, especially that's a First Amendment violation, obviously, but has to be balanced against a right to a fair trial. But imagine putting a gag on Donald Trump when he's the front runner for the Republican Party, for the presidential office. And imagine during the campaign, he's told, you know, I can't speak about the case. So when people ask him questions, he has to just say, sorry, I have a gag order. Mm. Obviously, that's not going to happen. That would
be. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen either. As Andy McCarthy explained yesterday when we spoke to him, if anything, they might, you know, say something about the attorneys being gagged. But I don't think Trump will. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're having fun with the media today because they're obsessed. Let's not pay attention to anything else that's happening. By the way, if you missed it, the motorcade arrived at the courthouse. What? Now we've gone from the motorcade has arrived. First, it was Trump is at Trump Tower soon, leaving for the courthouse. Oh, Trump is in the motorcade. And then that was like the obsessive lower third forever. Now it's Trump is at the courthouse. Now it's Trump's being processed. He's being processed. So everyone's going to have all the media is lined up in front of the courthouse and they all have the exact same shot. And there's way more media than there are protesters. It's so weird. Our media is garbage. They're absolute garbage. I mean, I was telling you all this stuff that, you know, I mean, you know, for instance, we've got the degradation of the petrodollar, right? Social Security is going to be broken in fewer than 10 years. SNAP spending has doubled, but yet Biden says inflation is ending. Gas prices are going to surge because the OPEC plus squeeze is coming. The Saudi squeeze. OPEC Plus, they're actually going to start reducing the amount of barrel per day. All of this, super huge. You have a big race in Wisconsin today. A lot of stuff is at stake. The control of the state Supreme Court, the ideological makeup of the state Supreme Court that could affect balloting issues. All of this, super important. Media doesn't want you to pay any attention to this. They don't want you to pay attention to the fact that the Pentagon and the White House are contradicting news reports as to how they, what they knew about the spy balloon and when. They don't want you to pay attention to any of that. Watch the motorcade. The media, Karl Marx was, in addition to being lazy and smelly and fat, and the only contribution that he ever gave to the earth was worm food. But he was also wrong with religion as the opiate of the masses. That's media. Yeah, it's the media. Now we got the light bulb bans coming. Can I get into some wokery here? I got to lighten it up a little bit. So when I was little, Kane and I are from St. Louis. Isn't that where Build-A-Bear got started?
That's a good question. I think so.
Yeah. So Build-A-Bear, where you literally build a bear. It's like a... I was always too poor to go there. I know. I would be... And I was like an older child when they came out. So, I mean, I really wouldn't have had a really bear any a bear anyway. I was like in seventh grade or something like that. But anyway, I was too poor to have gone there because that stuff is expensive. It's crazy expensive when they're not made in a sweatshop. It's like pretty, you know, when you got to put it together your damn self, it's quite expensive. Anyway, so I used to like, so RuPaul has been around for a long time. And I will say, like, RuPaul's never gone out there and shaken his thing for kids and all that stuff. He's never been. But I do think this is weird. Because this timing of this couldn't. This is just bad. So St. Louis's Build-A-Bear has a RuPaul bear now. If your child wants an ugly as sin bear, then you can go and get this bear. It is ugly. It's a bear in drag. It is a the Build-A-Bear. They've released this bear. It's the it wears a gold lamé gown, a white wig, and it has a gold lamé gown, a white wig, and it has optional gold ankle strap heels. I mean, it doesn't actually have feet; it just has little round puffy things. But you know, whatever. And they have licensing deals with Star Wars and Ted Lasso bears and everything. So it's a similar collaboration. And it's only available apparently online. This thing is $56. The optional heels cost an additional $8. $8, which is, you know, I guess that's what you would do for, you know, in a time of inflation, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they have the Ted Lasso bear. It's interesting. They don't really have it totally right. I'm just looking at some of the stuff they have. I've never been to their website. Let me look for RuPaul bear. I want to see what they say about it. RuPaul bear. There we go. Ba, 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 da, 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 da. Oh, you have to be 18 year older to even view this damn page. That's crazy. I just had to click yes, I'm 18 year older. So it's the online exclusive RuPaul bear. Do you want an ugly bear? Because it's ugly. This bear is ugly. The heels are ugly. And then you get a bear stand. Who gets this? Who would buy this?
This is almost $60?
Yeah. For the ugly bear. It's an ugly bear. It looks like a drag bear. That's what it's supposed to be, but it's just ugly. I mean, this is how far it's gone. It's gone this far. I don't know. I mean, I just think it's funny that you have to be 18 or older to view the bear on the website. Who's, maybe they're going to make enough of these. I don't know, but I just don't. Kane, this is an ugly bear, right?
It is.
I'm not being mean or anything. It just, it's just.
I mean, I think. Toy bears were meant to, you know, cuddle with, right? Like you're supposed to, you're not supposed to be like weirded out by it or anything like that. Like teddy bears are supposed to be cuddly.
This mm-hmm. is, here's how it's described.
It's not cuddly.
Cover bear, put the fur in your walk. Head to paw, let your whole body talk. She done, already done, had herses, and now you can have yourses with your very own RuPaul bear. Two iconic pop culture institutions join forces for this one-of-a-kind collector's item. First off, who collects this? That's nasty. Because you got to dust this stuff. This is just crap that's sitting around your house that you got to clean. Well, okay, sidebar. So, a great aunt in my family that was by marriage and was like a second wife later on, collected dolls, like the creepy China dolls, and had an entire room in their house devoted to like this kind of stuff, but it was all the dolls with their like get up, their little outfits and all this stuff. And they weren't to play with. And I was a kid. I'm like, how do you have all this stuff? First off, you're a grown woman. In fact, you're like in your 60s. It's weird. And you have all these toys in here and you don't play with none of them. Some of them were in china cabinets that you would use for dishes, but they had the dolls in them, right? And when you would go in that room, I never went in that room. I was like, this is haunted, because they all stared at you. And it was just weird. I just, you know, I never stayed the night there. I was never there at night. And I'm so glad, because that was the creepiest room in any house anywhere in the country. And this bear makes, so I have another story. You want to hear this other story that's related to this? So when elementary school, we would tell these scary stories to each other. And one of the stories that actually terrified me as a kid was this story of this possessed bear, excuse me, that was given to this kid. And this possessed bear would go out at night, excuse me, and go out and kill everybody, right? Go out and kill people. And then the bear would come back and then snuggle up in the bed and act like he was there the whole night. And the kid would wake up and his bear's there, right? Or her bear's there. Well, anyway, the bear was finally, you know, just not satisfied anymore by going out and killing everybody there. So he decided to kill his little kid owner. And the kid found out, so he cut his bear up and threw it in the trash. And then the little pieces of the bear got out of the trash can. And they all carried knives. You know, they ended up having to set it on fire. Anyway, long story short, if any bear was going to do it, it would be this one.
Yeah.
Just look at it. All right. So now that I got that out of my system, the motorcade has arrived at the courthouse and Trump is being processed. I know you wanted to. I'm not going to show you the media shot. It's the same shot that all the other media has. They're all standing outside talking to each other. So that is the latest with that. All right. Moving on, because we got a bunch of other things to touch on, too. And I got some audio for you as well. Let's see. Oh, audio soundbite 12. Let's look at this, because the media is apoplectic over Disney. This is Joe Scarborough. This is like the first time we've ever had a video clip of him in a 7-day span. Listen to this.
It is. I thought this from the very beginning to have a woke crusade against Mickey Mouse, against Disney.
What?
Like, you know, Trump people love going to Disney World. I go to Disney World. With my kids. I see them there. All the time. It's such a strange, it's just like attacking the Tampa Bay Rays and using state power to hurt.
Okay, so they're all upset over this. They were all freaking out about this yesterday too, because you know, you had this board that was trying to do something shady, and they ended up getting called out on it. But it was pretty amazing just to watch. They were upset over permitless carry being signed in Florida yesterday, and they were also upset over the ongoing thing with Disney, because Disney, long story short, they had received all of these special exemptions, all of this, you know, special accommodation that, I mean, you know, nobody else, I mean, no other business had these special accommodations. I mean, it wasn't fair. I mean, it's not pro business. Bob Iger comes out and says, oh, well, you know, DeSantis is, you know, he's not pro business because he was going after Disney. Well, it's not pro business for one entity to have special accommodations and exemptions that nobody else has, and to be able to do whatever they want entirely unaccountable to the state or the taxpayers in the area. And so that was changed, and now they're flipping out about it. So on top of that, they had permitless carry. They also had a 6-week abortion ban and school choice in 1 week. In 1 week, that's what happened in Florida. They had constitutional carry. They had a 6-week abortion ban, school choice, and they struck back at Disney. And the left doesn't know how to deal with it. They're flipping out. So now they're, oh, well, you had Karine Jean-Pierre who had tweeted about this. And it actually made me pretty mad because, you know, we all know the backstory there with Parkland. And Karine Jean-Pierre was, you had MSNBC saying DeSantis just made carrying a loaded weapon in Florida practically as easy as saying thoughts and prayers. Over half of the states in the country have permitless carry. 26 states have permitless carry. And it's the criminals who are in illegal possession who overwhelmingly drive the homicide rate. They've always operated permitless. That's just, you know, the nature of being criminals, right? That's just kind of what they do. Then you had Corinne Jean-Pierre say, she was going off about the permitless carry in Florida. She goes, quote, "This is the opposite of common sense gun safety. The people of Florida who paid a steep price for state and congressional inaction on guns from Parkland to Pulse nightclub to Pine Hills deserve better." Okay, well, congressional inaction wasn't to blame for Parkland. She should have asked her Democrat former police, her sheriff, why he ignored 60 plus warning calls on the killer and then afterwards blamed everybody else. Pulse, that was a terror attack. That was a terrorist. That was a terrorist who was a known entity. And Pine Hills was a killer that had a significant violent felony record who was coddled by the progressive restorative justice rotted DA. That has nothing to do with Congress. These Democrats create these policies that get people hurt. And then when people want to defend themselves against the lawlessness as a result of these policies, then Democrats say that they're the ones who are causing the hurt. It's asinine.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So here's a headline. Let's see if we can get all this in. 47-year-old Yaakov Levi was very, very busy on Sunday. In fact, this Florida man in Miami Beach tried to steal a jet ski, got naked, fought with officers, and tried to run away. There was a lot of stuff happening in this area on Sunday. So this Florida man, he tried to steal a jet ski. Then he stripped, exposed himself, fought with police officers while naked, and was was arrested on multiple charges. The 47-year-old was arrested on grand theft, aggravated battery in a law enforcement officer, resisting an officer with violence, lewd behavior, resisting an officer without violence, providing a false name after arrest. Police responded to the beach for a report of a drunk dude who was trying to steal someone's jet ski. It was from a company. The manager of the company, I guess they rent out jet skis, he said he tried to take one from the shoreline but was not successful. He tried to push it out in the ocean. He was stopping an employee. He then grabbed and broke a paddleboard handle and hit the manager in the back of the head with it. Then he went into the ocean, and then police ordered him to come out multiple times. He gave him the finger, took off his shorts, threw them in the water, and then threw sand at officers. And then the whole time he was making lewd gestures while he was exposed, facing the public to include children. Then they brought him to the shoreline. They didn't exactly say how that was done, where he continued to resist arrest and was punched in the face by an officer so he could be brought under control. Four officers eventually carried him off, and he was hospitalized before being booked into jail. And that's all the information they have on him. I mean, that's a very busy Sunday. A Miami-Dade truck driver stole $168,000 worth of Red Bull. Jeez. Man, three separate thefts from a warehouse near Miami International Airport. Alan Moreno, 46 years old. He was supposed to take all the energy drinks from one warehouse to the distribution center in Fort Myers, but didn't happen. They never made it. I mean, they were worth a lot of money. So arrest report doesn't specify where police think that all the shipments ended up, but he was charged with three counts of grand theft. He apparently is still in custody. He's still in jail, so didn't have one to happen. A Florida man wielded a machete at a bar after his karaoke request was denied, say deputies. A Brevard County man pulled out an 18-inch machete. Travis Jordan, 39, faces breach of peace due to disorderly conduct. It had occurred at Kennedy's Lamppost Tavern. It was 2 p.m. last Sunday also. He was drunk as a skunk. And he finally did hand over the machete, but he was mad because his request for a karaoke song was denied. I mean, there's other ways to, like, exhibit displeasure, man. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
I did want to ask about the Donald Trump arraignment. I know you're not going to comment about the legal proceedings. You've said that many times. But can you give us any sense of how President Biden is taking all of this in just as a moment in American history? Obviously, he's a consumer of news. Has he been watching, reading the developments that are unfolding right now?
So first, I have to say this. It's an ongoing case, so we're just not going to comment on the case specifically itself. Look, the president's going to focus on the American people like he does every day. He is not, this is not something that is a focus for him. He is going to focus on things like making sure that we continue to lower prices for the American American people. Of course, this is playing out on many of the networks here on a daily basis for hours and hours. So obviously, he will catch part of the news when he has a moment to catch up on the news of the day. But this is not his focus for today.
Have you spoken to him in recent days about these developments?
I have not spoken to him in the recent days on these developments. It's not, again,
this is not what he's focused on today, because we've all been focused on it obsessively since 2016. But that's not right now at this second today for the purpose of answering this question. He's not focused on it. That's really what the truth is. Welcome back to the program. Top of our third hour. Dana Lash here with you. We've been mocking the media. We've been making fun of everybody, the media particularly. But that was Karine Jean-Pierre, what, just minutes ago? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Who was discussing the ongoings in Manhattan today. So yes, Dana Lash with you. You are a bemused curmudgeon. And listen coast to coast. Sign up for the newsletter over at Chapter and Verse Substack. But this is, I mean, it is just wild to see all of this. I mean, I'm used to it, though, at this point, to see the media reacting, you know, ridiculously over this. However, to hear Karine Jean-Pierre say, no, Biden's not, like, it was beneath them to be. They were the ones who got it to this point.
Yeah.
Their fixation drove Alvin Bragg to make this monumentally stupid choice. So let's not act like they haven't been obsessed with it.
And KJP actually just claimed a few minutes ago that Biden was not given a heads up on this indictment of President Trump.
Oh, he
wasn't.
Which I
also don't believe. You want to hear any of that audio?
Yeah, let's have some.
All right.
Mm-hmm. When we first learned about the indictment, the president was not given a heads up. He was briefed by his chief of staff, and he learned about this just like all of you through the reporting.
Just like all of you through the reporting. He just had no way of knowing. I mean, it's just so, wow. Just kind of crazy. Just, you know, wow. Yeah, I don't believe her. Especially when all of these same people also knew everything about the whole FISA warrant and Fusion GPS and the collusion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They knew about all of that. Suddenly now they don't know anything. Shut up. No, we don't. So Trump apparently, according to New York Post, said he couldn't believe this was happening as he was getting processed. And then at some point the media was like, he's officially under arrest. And they ran with that thing. He's apparently, he is giving remarks outside of the courthouse after the whole processing is done. And I don't know. I don't know if we're still going to be on air when that happens. It just all depends. I mean, this, you know, he's not, you know, normally this would take a couple of hours for a regular person, but he's not a regular person. So who knows how long it's going to take, but he's not going to get, he's not getting fingerprinted because he has apparently a permit to carry. So they're not going to fingerprint him. And apparently it leaked last night that they weren't doing a mugshot because, I mean, he's Trump. It's not like, you know, he's going to go incognito anywhere, right? And then apparently there was also a Trump impersonator driving around New York City in a limo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you hear about this?
No.
You know what? I got to be real. I'm actually kind of surprised that this hadn't happened before. A person dressed as Trump driving in a limo kept driving apparently back and forth in front of Trump Tower, was fooled everyone into believing that he was heading to the arraignment early. And I mean, you can look at him, he's like, can I be really honest?
Yeah.
He's way fatter than like the guy he's like super, I mean, like straight up chonky. So I mean, one look and you're like, that's not him. But apparently some people thought it was. He was wearing a red cap with USA. That should have been your first hint. And apparently he was driving back and forth in front of the building. So people were thinking that it was him. And then it made it crazier with traffic. I don't know. It's, I can't, man. I just can't. Yeah, he's an impersonator.
The craziness in New York City today. I mean, as though today is different than any other day, but it's really on display today.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm I just gotta sigh. The media, all of this, just crazy. Now, while all of this has been happening too, with the processing, et cetera, Alvin Bragg, get this, because he's, you know, got other cases and stuff that he's doing, he's working on. Don't you guys know? You're gonna be mad when you hear this though. So, Alvin Bragg, by the way, that's, he's spending a lot of taxpayer dollars with this case. He cut a deal with a guy named Rodney Johnson, 53. This is just one example. You want to talk about everyone being equal before the law? Uh-uh. He cut this 53-year-old guy named Rodney Johnson a deal. Johnson has about 90 busts on his rap sheet. He's got two state prison stints under his belt. He's had felony robbery, all kinds of felony robbery charges. They last week, Bragg reduced those felony robbery charges to misdemeanors. And in one 2021 felony robbery case, Johnson skipped out on a court-ordered intervention program three times. Now he's free on a dollar bail. $1 bail. Now, this is a guy who's a violent criminal, a violent felon. And he steals a lot of stuff. So apparently, you know, that gets all reduced. See, this is all part of this, like I've been saying, this three-pronged attack on the stability of America to try to undermine law and order. Now, I think with in these cities where you have these really bad DAs and they're in historically Democrat-controlled cities, they come with very high crime rates, and the reduction in sentencing and penalty for the criminals is always jaw-dropping. Meanwhile, the innocent suffer and are prosecuted. I've given you two examples yesterday. The bodega owner, again, sorry, Jill Biden, bodega. Is that how she said? I can't even say it wrong. How do you say it wrong?
Bodega.
Bodega, as Jill Biden said, owner. And then there was another individual who was trying to stop someone from stealing his vehicle. The guy targeted him, and he fought with the guy after the criminal drew a gun on him. The other guy grabbed it and used it in self-defense, and he was charged with illegal possession. Is that not nuts? And this is all Alvin Bragg's office. So you have these, you absolutely have these cities where law and order has been completely subverted. But it's not unanimous. That is not the whole case. I don't want you to forget that every other federal prosecutor passed on pursuing this indictment because they said there's nothing here. It took Alvin Bragg to do it. And again, he's very localized. He's just for his area in Manhattan. Doesn't Brooklyn have its own? Brooklyn's got its own prosecutor. So he's like a very, you know, isolated. He's just one dude. Do not let him be the representation. And I said this in my first hour. I feel like conservatives, Republicans, people in the middle, I feel like everybody that would be described as being constitutional are being baited in more ways than one, particularly with arguments on law and order. Now, I have obviously thoughts on different issues that go through, you know, the abuses by bureaucratic agencies, but I am not going to join the left in believing that our system needs rebuilt. And joining them inadvertently on that. And that's what I think they're trying to get people on the right to do. They're trying to drag you in on it. They don't care if you're coming at it from a different perspective. They just, it's all the means justify the end. They believe that the country is flawed because it's not built on communism. We have questions about how the system operates because you have restorative justice and Soros-backed DAs, which these individuals aren't really practicing law. They're promoting certain people before others in front of the law, which is not constitutional. And we have issues with those people. But the fact that so many prosecutors said no to this is your evidence that this system is not broken. Do not let them con you into thinking that. Be very cautious. This is a time you should be more suspicious now than you ever have been in your life. Question everyone, myself included. I question everybody. Just because someone's got an R after their name, just because they say they're a conservative, that is nothing to me. Question everybody. Question everything. We are in an absolute state of disinformation. And I really think that conservatives are being baited in more ways than one. So please be very cautious, which I know you will be. Now, I think a lot of people really did decline to go to protest in Manhattan because they realized, my gosh, the left would love this. And they knew that there would probably be provocateurs. I've heard a couple of things. But so far, it's been pretty low key outside. And I think the media is mad about that. So they'll try to make something big out of something else here, I'm sure, since they didn't get what they wanted outside of this. So you gotta beat them at their own game here. You really do. Now, while all of this has been happening, like I said, there's been a very important election in Wisconsin. Then we have the situation with oil and gas with OPEC Plus. You have a number of, golly, there's some just bad jobs news out as well, which we're going to get into. And everything as well with, we got a whole bunch of wokery, but just keep in mind the biggest thing, the biggest things that we have to face right now, I think, are China. I think it's the issue with the petrodollar. I think it's the issue with our energy independence. Those are the three biggest issues. And really, I think the media is working so overtime to keep your attention off of this. Just think of all the time they could have spent pressing the White House on why did you lie to everyone initially and say that they weren't collecting intelligence when they were? And why did you contradict your own agencies? Why did you contradict the report? They're not asking those questions. Everyone's talking about this. This is all for a reason. Don't, unrelated to how you feel in the primary, it's all designed for purpose. We have a lot more as well coming up that you don't want to miss.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so what is four people found dead near a hotel in Cancun. This was on Monday, according to Mexican officials. The latest bout of violence in the popular tourist destination. Two people arrested for the possible involvement in the deaths of four people, according to the AG of the state of Quintana Roo. By the way, that's where Tulum is. Tulum's in Quintana Roo. All the deceased are Mexican nationals. They said that it could have been, they suspect that it was narcotics involved. But still, good heavens. It just makes people nervous when they're like looking where they're going to go for summer vacation and all that. Federal judges say that they are not going to hire clerks from intolerant and woke law schools. So a bunch of federal judges have come forward saying they're not going to do this. It's like, for instance, those who are at Yale Law and they have all these high profile free speech scandals, like the most recent one in at Stanford. So they said that it's a disruption to the process of law, and they're not going to consider it. Good for them. Apparently, cell phones have altered our brains. BBC has this series where they looked at the first handheld cell phone call made 50 years ago, and they dive into how, for instance, in the U.S., do you know how many times people check their phone a day on average? Adults look at their phone on average 344 times a day, once every 4 minutes, and they spend on average 3 hours a day on their devices. And they say that it's altered our brain behavior, not just because of the hyper-realistic beauty filters and stuff like this on social media, but our attention spans, the way that we read things, the way that our eyes trace screens, everything has been impacted. It's actually, I'll put this in your prep email because it's a very interesting piece. Italy it's the first nation to ban ChatGPT. Now, other countries are also considering it, but they've absolutely have done so. And a Minnesota man died from rabies. He woke up in the middle of the night. A rabid bat was biting his hand. Oh, stay with us.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
joining me now to talk about all of this is CNN chief law enforcement and intelligence analyst John Miller and former federal prosecutor and senior legal analyst Ellie Honig. Are you guys sick of talking about this already? No. I mean, this is unprecedented.
This is the Super Bowl. Yeah,
it's a Super Bowl. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You're bemused curmudgeon. So that was CNN. As I've been telling you, they are just so stoked about this. They love this stuff. But I also want to warn you, they're really, really, I think, well, they're over their skis. They're overplaying their hand. And this isn't going to go the way they think it is. They want you to be fatigued, though. That's the whole point. And I want to caution people on that as well, because they want to fatigue you on this. They want to have you so exhausted by the time that the election comes around that your enthusiasm, voter enthusiasm, is just in the tank. Anything that they can do. So just always be, you know, just it's the media. So apparently this is, I'm looking at, everybody has the same live shot. Everything, it doesn't matter. I went to like five different news sites and they all have literally the exact same live shot.
Exclusive.
They're looking at the courtroom doors and it's just the cops that are standing there. And the dark doors, and that's what the live shot's on. Everyone has the same thing and it's hysterical. So Trump, he's been booked, etc. He had said, He posted on his platform saying that heading to Lower Manhattan, the courthouse seems so surreal. Wow, they're going to arrest me. I can't believe this is happening in America. So he's gone. And well, I'm just wondering, I would love to know I want to see the nature of, you know, the entire indictment and what Bragg's, how he's really trying to craft this. Because it is, all of this is so sketch. Because remember, and we talked about this in the first hour, so forgive me if I recap for people who have just joined in later. So Michael Isikoff he's a reporter with Yahoo. And he is the one who is being accused of leaking from Bragg's office. So he was given this information to report that there were 34 felony counts. And I explained that, you know, Andy McCarthy and I talked about that yesterday. I talked about that earlier in the show. It's literally 34 counts for the same offense. So it's not 34 separate offenses. They just, any little move they could try to nail as a felony, that's what he did, which really makes it look like quantity over quality. And so Michael Isikoff was the guy through whom this news was leaked, that he was going to be charged with 34 felony counts, but they can't handcuff him, but he's also not going to have a mugshot. And so the weird thing about Isikoff, the first time I think anybody ever heard of him was like in the 90s when Clinton had his affair with Lewinsky, and he was the first reporter to be out with a story on it. But then it's really weird how he's gone from that to actually working with Clinton and the DNC and with Fusion GPS, because he was taking this unverified oppo and laundering it into a story, publishing it. And then the DNC and the Clinton campaign through Nellie Orr and Bruce Orr at Fusion GPS and the DOJ respectively. Then they took those stories and they brought them to the FISA court and said, wow, look at how shady all this is. We should get a surveillance warrant on Trump, on his staffers that work for his campaign, private citizens. And that's how that happened. So there was so much that was released on that was redacted, but it's pretty much generally assumed that Isikoff was one of them, because he was one of the guys peddling all of that stuff about the dossier. So it is weird that, you know, here now he's the leaking from Bragg's office, just, you know, just doing all their work. They have their go-to journalists. They really do. So ongoing, I don't know. He's going to apparently make remarks outside of the courtroom when he does come out. But I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know how long the processing is going to take, et cetera, et cetera. So just so you know, that's just kind of the latest with us. So they're just, And you heard that CNN quote. I mean, this is their Super Bowl. They're so stoked about this. This is their Super Bowl. Anything that they can do to get your attention off of anything else. You know, anything that they can do. So that's, and I do want to caution you once more, do not let them emotionally manipulate you into agreeing with them on anything or playing you, baiting you. Because the simple fact, and I can't say this enough, that you had as many federal prosecutors as you did pass on this case because they didn't think there was anything there, that goes to show you the system is not lost. So don't agree with these CRT advocates. Okay, here's a question. Why the hell is Chris Christie on ABC talking about this? Lorraine's like, he's on. Lorraine, who's a contributor at Chapter and Verse, and she moderates the YouTube discussion, says that Chris Christie was on ABC. Why? Why is he on ABC? I can only imagine how that's going to go. I can only imagine. I mean, maybe he's saying that it's, you know, maybe he's saying that it's ridiculous, the charges, etc. I mean, who knows? It's Chris Christie. But I don't know. Just like I said, don't believe everything the media wants you to believe. There are a couple of things also to hit with this. Apparently, in this trial, they're going to have some Secret Service agents that are expected to testify to a grand jury in the Mar-a-Lago case. So that's not surprising. I'm actually not totally surprised about that one. That seems like, as I said, he is going to be delivering remarks outside of the courtroom. So we'll I'm going to follow all of that. I want to move and get into some of this other stuff. Audio Soundbite 9. Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton were speaking at an event together, and they are still complaining about 2016. And this is Audio Soundbite 10. Listen to this, because Pelosi was and Hillary were lavishing praise on one another, and then they started talking about how the 2016 election was stolen again. I'm not even kidding you. This was just like the other day. Listen.
When Secretary Clinton was in the Senate and First Lady, but especially as Secretary of State in more recent time, she has been, and at that time, implemented many things showing America's support for democracy. It was her clarity in position to the President Putin, present occupant leader of Russia, that made him turn around and ensure in an illegal way, come out against her in her campaign. An interference in our democracy by Vladimir Putin, because Hillary Clinton was the person he feared most.
Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton was the person he feared most. I remarked about this on Jesse Waters last night. I said that there's only two people, I think, that... there's only two people, I think, that are actually scared of Hillary Clinton. One of them is Bill. And then the other is anybody whose name rhymes with Schmintzboster. That's pretty much it. But I'm not quite sure how she can make that argument considering everything that we know. It's one campaign. It was her campaign and the DNC that literally, I mean, and I'm using that word correctly, literally worked with the Kremlin to develop some sort of narrative about Trump and peddle that as a way to put their finger on the scale for the election. And this is also at the same time that, remember when it came out, and this is when Obama was still in office, but the election was underway. And there was this story that came out that the DNC servers had been hacked, et cetera, et cetera. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz and others were saying, no, we don't need to have a forensic investigation. No one needs to examine this. It's totally fine. And there were questions that were being raised over whether or not, because it looked like it had been a Russian breach of their security there within the server. And Trump at the time had remarked, and this was like late summer, had said something to the effect of, Well, this could be Russia, you know, trying to, what if they're trying to meddle in elections? And Barack Obama on the campaign trail had said he just needs to stop whining and just campaign.
Yeah.
He had said that, and we had played that audio like endlessly. He had said that he just needs to stop whining and just campaign. That's all he needs to do at this point. And he said that there's no way, he said there's no possible way that anybody could, you know, influence or get involved and affect the elections like this. And that was what Obama had said at that point. And so then turn around and you see all of this other stuff that was going around and that was happening in the background. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. So to say that, you know, she was, I mean, she really was the one that I think, whether it was the easy facilitation of the Uranium One acquisition, whether it was, you know, her involvement in Libya and elsewhere. I mean, there's no way that Russia preferred her or Russia was terrified of her. And therefore that justifies somehow that she was the better choice. That's just dumb. And she worked with the Kremlin. I mean, she literally worked with the Kremlin. No one else. I mean, no, they're not. Good heavens, they're not scared of somebody that they're working with to take down another candidate, her opposition. We also have this, Audio Soundbite 6. So, you know, Jacinda Ardern is out of New Zealand. New Zealand has a new prime minister who doesn't know what a woman is. Listen.
I just wanted to ask you, given comments by Keir Starmer and Britain, how do you and how does this government define a woman?
To be honest, Sean, that question's come slightly out of left field for me. Biology, sex, gender, people define themselves. People define their own genders.
Genders. I can't hear him without listening, like hearing Kath and Kim, which is an Australian show, but very similar accents. So the new Zealand Prime Minister, the new New Zealand Prime Minister, can't define what a woman is.
Nope.
It's not that he can't. He's just afraid to.
Yep.
Sounds like the kind of leader you want, right? That kind of leader. Good grief. Asinine. I'm just... It's all this wokery. Speaking of wokery, Audio Soundbite 17. So in 1 week, you had DeSantis slap back at Disney. They passed permitless carry in Florida. They passed the 6-week abortion ban in Florida. They also did, they're blocking the mutilation, the experimental surgery on otherwise healthy kids and the and people, you know, pumping them up full of hormones. Listen to, because the media is going crazy over this. This is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis talking about what's going to happen with these physicians. Listen.
And it's sad that we even have to discuss this, but you know, you've now seen kind of an explosion in doctors with these young kids, minors, giving them puberty blockers, hormone treatment, and doing surgery, sex change surgeries, of kids that are 15, 16 years old. And so we don't think that's based on medical science. We think that's ideology going into that. And in fact, a lot of countries in Europe have said, no, this is really bad. And we've got people in their 20s who went through this when they were minors, and they regret it because these things were irreversible. So in Florida, we have had our Board of Medicine institute rules so that in Florida, if a physician is doing this to minors, they are going to lose their medical license in our state. We're not putting up with it.
Good. Good on them.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
When it comes from the top down, my dad's kitchen table, not much dropped on that kitchen table from the top down.
What?
I think that he's trying to explain trickle-down economics, but he did a really, really bad job of it. That's, you know, President Joe Biden. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. So, the arraignment is underway. Apparently, he pled not guilty. I'm just kind of going over the latest here. He said that he had said earlier, he can't believe it's happening to me. And yes, it did plead not guilty. So I'm just his team also demanded that the case be moved to Staten Island because Manhattan voted 1% Republican. So I don't know if that would, if that's, I mean, I would, that's even if that's, if it's not dismissed, I just, I can't imagine it going forward. I just can't. Now, in the meantime, I gave you the example of Alvin Bragg and how one of the repeat offenders from, I mean, just while he's been dealing with this Trump thing, with the Trump case, going after Trump, there, I mean, there was at least one criminal whose felonies he reduced to nothing. We'll talk, tomorrow we'll talk about some of these other criminals whose crimes totaled about 500, 60% of them are out there roaming the street still. I know, violent offenders. Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, it's President Biden when he's not falling up the stairs of Air Force One. He was trying to answer the questions of the press who asked about OPEC and the increase, major increase in oil prices. And here's what he said. He said it's not as bad as you think. Go ahead.
Mr. President, on OPEC, you have the reaction to the oil production cuts, sir? OPEC!
On OPEC!
Not going to be as bad as you think, he says. But it's already bad.
But it's going to be bad, though.
It's already bad.
Yeah, I mean, like, that, it's just the level of how bad, really? Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up for Chapter and Verse over at Substack. I'll be back with you behind the mic tomorrow.